privilege and pleasure to... Oh, by the way, I got to say this. Ron Sargent's here this morning. Ron, good to have you here. Yeah, great to see you again. It's been a while. So go give the guy a hug after. He deserves that. Anyway, we are so thankful to have David Marshall's little son, Andrew. Well, little... Anyway, David is, or Andrew is David's oldest son, and we're privileged to have him with us this morning. Surprising, really, that he is taking time out to be here as speaker today and next week as well, because he has a bit of a busy schedule right now because he's getting married in June. And so he's got a lot on his plate, but he's taken time to bring God's word to us. So, Andrew, lay it on us. Love to have you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Everett. I don't know how I'm going to live up to the expectations. No, it's a great privilege to be here once again. Thank you so much for having me come out. I'm actually right now traveling all the way from Hawkesville. If you know where that is, it's about 20 minutes north of Waterloo. As you said, I'm getting married in June, and as such, we're looking to move out to the Kitchener-Waterloo area. So I'm there looking for an apartment. And of course, having a bit of a hard time with that because of just the nature of looking for apartments is in that area. But I do have a temporary place there for the month of April. So I would definitely appreciate your prayers just concerning that matter as we hope to seek the Lord and follow him to where he leads. So anyways, with that being said, let's just open up with a word of prayer and we'll get right into the word here. So our Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do... just again, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for your word that you have given to us. And we just ask, Lord, that you would be with us this morning as we open it up, as we look into it. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us and encourage us to walk for you. So we just pray that you would be with us this morning. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 46. It's going to be our passage this morning is Psalm chapter 46, and I'm just going to read the very first verse here to start. We will read the rest of the text here in a moment, but Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1 is going to be the theme that we constantly come back to. So Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 reads like this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. There was a man who went to the doctor's office, and he was having an ongoing nightmare, actually two particular nightmares that were on repeat. And so he went to the doctor's office, and he said, "Doctor, I've been having these terrible dreams. One night, I dreamed that I'm a teepee. And the other night, I dreamed that I'm a wigwam. And then I'm a teepee. And a wigwam, and a teepee, and a wigwam, and it's ongoing. I can't get it out of my head. Do you know what's wrong with me?" And the doctor looked at him and said, "Oh, I know what's your problem. You're too tense." I'm sorry. You're too tense. There was a study done on Americans, on how they managed stress. And I realize this is America, and this is a couple years ago, but... Canadians are very much American wannabes, I feel. And anyways, a lot of these statistics we could take and see probably are in our own culture. How Americans manage stress: about 52% of Americans listen to music to deal with their stress. 47% exercise or walk. 44% like to read to manage their stress. 41% like to spend time with friends or family. Another 41% like to watch TV or movies 2 or more hours a day, which I might put myself into those shoes. 38% like to nap. Hopefully there's none of you here that are really feeling that urge to nap today. But 38% like to nap. 37% play video games or surf the internet. Another 37% pray. 34% eat. Okay, I also fall into that category. 34% eat to manage stress. 30% have a hobby. 21% go to church or religious services. And then 18% drink, 18% shop, and 16% smoke. Cultures come up with a lot of different ways to manage stress in our society today. And not all of them are ways that maybe we would perhaps endorse. Some of them perhaps you see yourself falling into, for example, my eating habit. But there, different people have different ways of managing stress. You know, as I read the scriptures, I find no instant formula for spiritual maturity. There are a lot of people have tried searching for ways of having immediate spiritual maturity, but it just doesn't happen. The way to gain spiritual maturity is through stress and strain and struggle as we endeavor to live this Christian life. And I'm sure all of us here could say at some point in our lives, perhaps you're going through one right now, that you have had days of anxiety and stress and frayed nerve endings. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We need to learn how to deal with it. Not from the worldly perspective, but what is our way of dealing with it from a godly, a biblical perspective? A few years ago, there was a man by the name of Thomas Hobbes from the University of Washington. He and a few fellow socialists published their research on human stress. They listed many of the common experiences of life and evaluated their impact on our mental and emotional well-being. And they rated them according to a stress scale that they had developed. It was called life change units, or LCUs. And the idea was that the higher the number of life change units per event, the worse the stress was. And for example, getting a divorce would maybe be rated at about 73 life change units, or being pregnant would be about 40, remodeling a home would be 25, and Christmas would be 13, and on it went, listing all of the daily stresses in our lives. And the conclusion of the researchers was that if you hit 300 of these life change units in 1 year, it would be too much for one person to handle. Now, it's interesting. It's an interesting study. I don't know how much I actually agree with some of the conclusions they come to, but it's interesting to see from the worldly perspective how people deal with stress and how much stress people can handle. Now, that's talking humanly speaking. Our trust in God can make all the difference in how we are able to handle the things that may happen to us in life. With all of that in mind, let's look at Psalm 46. I'm going to reread that first verse, and this is, again, the theme that I want to really bring out to you this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, the Hebrew word for trouble actually that he uses has the implication of being pressed in. If you've ever heard the saying, between a rock and a hard place, that's the kind of pressure that the psalmist is talking about, being stuck and feeling like you've got pressure coming in on both sides. And when you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, or you feel like you're under pressure, this is the psalm I would recommend turning to. Our God is our strength and our refuge, a very present help in struggle and in trouble. When Martin Luther was surrounded by enemies, he read this psalm. Interestingly enough, the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, is based off of this psalm. He saw the tremendous power of God as a bulwark never failing. Regardless of what happens in this world, there is still the strength and the power and the might of God. So we're going to go through it. We're going to go through this psalm. Verses 1 through to 3 actually deal with changes in nature. And overall, the general idea of what the psalmist is saying here is, I will not fear. God is my refuge and my strength. And even though the world around me may be shaking, I will not fear. That's the summary of verses 1 through to 3. Verses 4 through to 7 speak of changes taking place in society. And the psalmist says, I will not be moved. Even though nations are falling apart, even though the society around us is deteriorating, because God is my refuge and strength, I will not be moved. And finally, verses 8 through to 11 is a reflection of everything that's been said. And the psalmist's response is this: I will not let stress ruin my life anymore. I'm going to trust God and get on with living in accord with his will. So let's start with the very first one. We'll read verses 1 through to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this far back. I certainly do. But when at the very beginning of the year, when I was last here, I looked at another, it was a proverb, and we looked at 10-year New Year's resolutions. And we went through them one by one, and one of the points which actually kind of inspired this entire message to begin with, was fear not. Fear not. And I wanted to expand on that a little bit because, again, fear is something that everybody faces at one point or another, and I feel like it's part of what causes stress in our lives. Even the most hardened, I'm not afraid of anything guy secretly fears something. Now, just for fun, I looked up a couple interesting phobias. So here's a couple interesting phobias. There's taphophobia, or the fear of being buried alive. I think that one's quite understandable. There's hylophobia. Okay, this one would not pass in Bancroft. It's the fear of forests or woodlands or trees. So good luck to anybody with hylophobia looking to go to Bancroft. Pteranophobia, the fear of being tickled with feathers. This one is a mouthful. I'm going to try to say it, and I'm probably going to butcher it. Hexacosiohexaconotohexaphobia, or the fear of the number 666. And this one's my favorite. Phobophobia, the fear of having a phobia. Okay. These are actually all real fears that people experience. Perhaps your fear is a little bit more realistic. Perhaps it's the fear of losing a job. Perhaps it's the fear of losing your spouse or your loved one. Perhaps it's the fear of being alone. Perhaps it's the fear of messing up. Of course, it doesn't stop there. The world today is full of terrifying things. I actually read the other day about a convicted rapist who is expected to reoffend, and he was just released. Even look now at how the school boards and governments are changing, how Christians are becoming more and more looked down upon. During the last 20 years, earthquakes, tsunamis have increased at a phenomenal rate. If you look down in America, the geologists point to the San Andreas Fault, and they predict that one day a large chunk of Western California is going to fall off into the Pacific Ocean. What about the hurricanes that we constantly read about or see in the news? What about blizzards that are paralyzing our cities? What about countries that threaten war? Some are beginning to cry out, what is happening in this world today? How do we react? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we will not fear. There ought not be anything that shakes the foundation of our faith in the Lord. There ought not be anything that we need fear. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, a very famous psalm, And of course, if you know it, you could probably recite it with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our very first point, I will not fear. Perhaps there's a fear in your life right now. I would say turn to the Lord. Give it to him. Trust him with whatever it is that is afflicting you. Because he is there and he is our refuge and our strength. He is there, our help in our times of trouble. And we can say truly, honestly, because of him, I will not fear. Our second point, verses 4 down to verse 7, I will not be moved. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's interesting here how he pictures the nations in an uproar and the kingdoms failing and falling apart. Does that sound like today? Just a little bit, perhaps, right? Again, we think of the world around us, and it seems that humans are quite willing to get caught up and move together with thoughts and ideas that are just wrong. Countries that were founded on biblical truths are following, endorsing, and encouraging perverse ideologies. What evidence do we have? Well, first of all, we start with the popular acceptance of the idea that there is no God. That idea has spread like a plague across our world, especially across our country, across this continent. It goes, it goes with saying that there is no God, people claiming to be atheists. And of course, along with that, science points to the creation being billions of years ago due to chance. It starts with that. Along with that, the minute we start to question our existence, our purpose, morality becomes warped. Things that were absolutely unacceptable even by the world 100 years ago are then pushed into our faces as modern truths. Once the ball starts rolling, it gains momentum enough that it just starts to plow through everything. Now, perhaps you know of some of the issues that we're talking about, and I'm just going to mention a few here just that I thought of while I was sitting and writing. Issues that, 10, 50 years ago even, we wouldn't have experienced to the same degree that we do today. We talk about issues like gender equality and gender identity. We look at transgender and homosexuality being pushed into our faces. We talk about abortion. There's also this entire push of racism now again spreading through both America and even into Canada today. And of course, there are many more than that. Did you know that 1 in 5 kids between the ages of 12 and 19 struggle with depression of some sort? 1 in 5 kids. That leads to substance abuse, it leads to self-harm, it leads to even suicide. This is what happens when a country turns away from God. We're living in a world that does what's right in their own eyes. It's something that we are warned about again and again in the Old Testament when we see Israel constantly doing things that was right in their own eyes and falling flat on their face before God. Guess what? A large number of Christians are jumping on board. They jump onto the bandwagon because they don't want to offend. They don't want to be politically incorrect. Some are going as far as allowing gay pastors or performing gay marriage or allowing divorce and remarriage run rampant in their churches. Some are endorsing abortion, promoting evolution, and still claim to be called Christians. You know, Jude warned against these kinds of people, and while I don't want to read the entirety of the book, I do want to share two verses, Jude verses 12 and 13. Now notice when I read these verses, the similarities between the words and many of the Christians today. Notice this, Jude verse 12, "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up from the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And it's sad because we see that today. We see that today. This is a description of those who have allowed themselves to become disillusioned and ignore the words of God. They have moved. Whether willingly or not, it doesn't matter. They have become conformed to this world, despite Christ's warnings. Nations are in an uproar. Mankind seems to be falling apart. But we don't have to be. Notice in our original text how it says that she shall not be moved. The text even goes on to describe the instability of the world and its nations, and yet the Lord speaks and the earth is melted. We can stand steadfast because God is our refuge and our strength, because Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And as Christians, we must stand strong in faith and commitment in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. We must be firm on the foundations of God's word, and we must declare we will not be moved. We will not be moved. Our third point here this morning, verses 8 through to verse 11 of Psalm chapter 46. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Now, that's the end of the book, and the point I have here is I will not be stressed. Now, I do have a little illustration. It's a little bit of a lighthearted one here. A man told his friend that he had a mountain of credit card debt. He'd lost his job. His car had been repossessed. The house was in foreclosure, but he said, "I'm not worried about it." His friend said, "He's not worried about it? What are you talking about?" And the man said, "No, I've hired a professional worrier. He does all my worrying for me, and that way I don't have to think about it." His friend said, "Well, that's fantastic. How much does this professional worrier charge?" And the man said, "Well, about $50,000 a year." "$50,000 a year," replied the first man. How are you going to get that kind of money?" And he responded, "I don't know, but I'm not going to worry about it." Now, I'm going to camp three things here together. I'm camping worry and anxiety and stress all together here because I do recognize that there are differences, and yet I believe that all can be given to God to be taken care of. Usually worry is caused by having a problem that I can't fix. I worry about something because it's a problem that I can't fix. Anxiety is a visceral feeling of apprehension or fear. And then stress is the way our bodies and our minds react to something which upsets our normal balance in life. So those are the three things. Anxiety is the visceral feeling of apprehension or fear. Worry is a problem that I can't fix. And stress is the way our bodies and minds react to something which upsets our normal balance in life. So now how do these all stack up against each other? Well, stress is put on us quite often because things happen in life, as people like to say, life happens, right? And that causes stress. And usually we can deal with that. However, when there becomes too much stress, it can lead to worrying about something. And when we start to worry, it never solves any of the problems. We just worry and worry and worry, but it never fixes anything. And then, of course, worry leads to more stress, which brings upon anxiety. And you can start to see a pattern here, can't you? They start to build up upon each other, and they magnify each other out of proportion. What do we do in those situations? Well, Rebecca is probably going to hate me for this because I have a saying that drives her nuts, and it's because I say it all the time. Trust the Lord. Now, that is our typical response to it. But at times when you're in the middle of stress and worry and anxiety and everything's pressing upon you, just hearing somebody say, well, just trust the Lord with it, well, it doesn't really help me, does it? It's an easy concept to think of. Trust the Lord. Have faith. Trust. Cast your cares upon Him. But it's an extremely hard thing to do. And sometimes hearing somebody say it is just almost grating because you feel like it doesn't help. Have you ever heard the words, oh, you of little faith? In fact, Jesus said it a few times, didn't he? Look at Peter stepping out of the boat into the stormy seas. He stepped out, he got caught up in the worry of all the storms around him, and he freaked out, got caught up in the turmoil around him, and he lost his focus on Christ. You know, we do exactly the same thing, don't we? A lot of times our worry and our anxiety are caused because we're caught up in the turmoil around us. How do we combat that? Well, we come back and refocus on Christ. That is the way we combat it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Trust in the Lord. Place your faith in him. It seems that here at this point, the psalmist also sits back and he looks at everything that he has mentioned. He looks at all the changes that have taken place and he reflects on them. We're reminded of the might and the power of God. He then comes to the conclusion that he's not going to be filled with stress and anxiety. He takes pleasure knowing that the Lord will bless and exalt him if he remains faithful and steadfast in him. Why? That very first verse. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. There's another verse that is one of my favorite verses of all time. It's Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, which says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. That's a verse that has been with me ever since, back at Elam was when I first really heard it and really kind of latched onto it. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. That's us, if we are willing to place our trust in him. He is willing to be our refuge. He is willing to be our strength. He is willing to be our stronghold, if only we will trust him. There's three great truths that we can draw out from this psalm. Of course, the three points that we brought out were these: I will not fear. Even though the world around us is crazy and things happen in our lives that we don't like and cause us to fear, we shall not fear, we should not fear, because God is there. He is our refuge and our strength. Our second point is this: I will not be moved. Even though the world, again, is in turmoil, even though there seem to be ideas flying left and right, calling to us to come to the bandwagon and jump on, we will not be moved. We will not move from the foundation of the Word of God. And finally, we will not allow stress to control our lives, because God is our refuge and our strength. And in times where we feel like stress is overwhelming, what do? We refocus on Him first and foremost. There are three great truths that we can draw from this psalm. Number one, God is always near and available to us. Always near and available. He never puts us on hold. A lot of times I feel like he feels like he's far away from us. Do you ever feel that? Where he's far away from us, where he's so distant he can't possibly hear my struggles and my troubles right now. That's not true. We looked even in the Great Commission earlier this morning during the Lord's table, and we saw that he promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be there for us. He is always near and available to us. He can help us. So talk to him, and then listen to him through his word. Number two, the second great truth is that God's power is greater than anything in all this world. It's greater than winds or storms or earthquakes or volcanoes. It's greater than all of that. It's greater than the authorities that we see in this world. It's greater than the problems that we have in our own lives. God's power is greater, always and forever. There is no greater power. And God's power is sufficient to win the victory over all the enemies that come our way. So God's power is greater than anything in all this world. So don't be afraid to ask for help. And the third great truth is this: God's help works even when we can't help ourselves. In fact, I would almost requote that and say God's help works especially when we can't help ourselves. His strength is made through our weakness. Have you felt weak lately? Have you felt like you just can't go on? Have you felt like there's too much stress in your life, you just can't do it? That's especially when we need to rely on him, because his help works especially in those times of our weakness. God's help is available. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. I know that there's a number of things that we could talk about here, and there's a lot to kind of soak in. But my hope and my prayer is this: for each and every one of us here this morning, no matter what confronts us in our lives, no matter what stress or anxiety falls upon us, no matter what calls us to fear, no matter what calls us to be moved from where we stand in the Lord, I hope and I pray that we can continue to come back to him, to trust in him, to call out to help from him, and to remain in him. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we do just again thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the promises that you have given to us, promises that we know you will not stray from. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us in this world. Help us to not be moved. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to not be overcome with stress and anxiety in this life, but help us to rely first and foremost on you. I just pray that as we go from here, that you would impress that idea upon our hearts, and that in the middle of trouble, that would be the thought that comes to us, is to trust you. We thank you and we praise you for all of these things, and we ask them in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Wonder if we could just sing in closing number 418. Number 418. Is there a heart or bound with sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so keen to help you, no other friend so quick to hear, no other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. All your anxiety, all your care, bring it to the mercy seat, leave it there. Let's all stand and sing the first and the second verse of 418 together.